You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Mary Kissel. Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President of Stevens Incorporated, former Senior Advisor to the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, to help me understand news items coming from China. This has to do with a meeting between the number two diplomat in the State Department, Wendy Sherman, and her opposite, or the foreign ministry's presentation of her opposite numbers in Beijing. We all know that there is tension between Washington and Beijing. We also know that diplomacy is about dealing with adversaries, not dealing with allies and friends only. However, Mary, a very good day to you. You have very carefully over the years compiled a great deal of information about how meetings between adversaries, rivals, frenemies go. And the reporting from Beijing, thanks to the South China Morning Post, is striking, in that this very much looks like a confrontation. I read from the South China Morning Post report, a newspaper in Hong Kong closely associated with the central government in Beijing. According to Beijing, the Chinese foreign ministry representative Xi handed over two lists to Wendy Sherman, the issues it wants the U.S. to take action on, including lifting visa restrictions on Communist Party members, their families, and Chinese students, and a list of key concerns. Wang called for the U.S. not to challenge or seek to subvert China's model of governance, not to interfere in its development, violate its sovereignty, or harm its territorial integrity. End quote. Mary, my plain reading in this in English is that China laid down the law to the United States of America. Does this surprise you? Does this surprise China watchers? Good day to you, Mary.
Good day to you, John. It's great to be back with you. Just to answer your first question, no, it's not surprising at all. The Chinese side set the tone for the relationship with the new administration at the Anchorage, Alaska meeting that Secretary of State Antony Blinken and National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan had in March, where the Chinese side was extremely aggressive. So it's no surprise that continued in this latest meeting in Tianjin. I think there's good news, though, and bad news here. The good news is that the Chinese side is complaining about what has turned out to be an extremely effective policy to restore fairness and some degree of leverage for the United States in negotiations such as this. The Chinese are very clear about that. They complain when we do things that are successful for us. The bad news is that just by virtue of having this meeting, when the Chinese behavior had not improved between that March meeting and today, was in and of itself a concession to China, among many other signs that the Biden administration is indeed softening its terms on Beijing's side. We can maybe talk a little bit more about that.
Yes, first I want to understand protocol. Wendy Sherman is number two at State Department. If I understand correctly, that means when visiting at the invitation of geopolitical powers or any state, you expect to be met by your opposite number in the foreign ministry. I do not believe that was correctly followed here. Is this understood as a rebuke in some fashion? You will recall that when Secretary of State Blinken met with the foreign minister of China, his opposite number, in earlier this year, there was a direct confrontation with harsh language. Does this meeting with Wendy Sherman follow on to that, or is this a change in the weather?
Well, the Chinese side sends very careful signals prior to meetings such as this. And in fact, there were several signs prior to Ms. Sherman landing in China that the Chinese side was really flexing its muscles. First of all, they refused the request for a truly independent investigation into the Wuhan virus. Second, they argued over the level of diplomat who would meet Ms. Sherman. Third, they didn't meet in the capital. They met in a secondary city. And then, as we've just discussed during the meeting, they were apparently very aggressive and presented a list of demands. The U.S. side also made concessions, which was quite remarkable. The State Department characterized the purpose of the meeting to have, quote, frank and honest exchanges, but no real specific achievements out of the meeting. So they set the expectation low. The readout of the meeting, which is the summary that the State Department releases afterward, did not mention the Chinese people, did not mention the word communist or communism. So the language has been toned down with how the United States describes this totalitarian regime. And thirdly, the State Department and the Biden administration more broadly continues to characterize the relationship as, quote, collaborative, competitive, and adversarial, end quote. This is a kind of another world where we continue to pretend that there is collaboration potential from the Chinese side with no evidence of that. Competitive, which implies that somehow Beijing is competing with us on the economic sphere on equal terms, which they do not. And adversarial, which is kind of a polite way to say acting like an enemy in certain circumstances. So just to sum that up, you had the Chinese side signaling a lot of aggression on many fronts before the meeting, and you had the U.S. side taking steps backward and toning down its language and not reacting in equal measure. I think that's very worrying, frankly, John, because it suggests that the Chinese side feels emboldened and the U.S. side is not reacting to that from a position of strength.
If I understand correctly, there was thinking that while the U.S. has been extremely careful to identify what is not acceptable in Chinese actions, let's just name one, the treatment of the Uyghurs, there's also been the understanding that China and the U.S. can work together on international issues and climate change, for an example. Does this meeting suggest that that formula is not in place, that that's something that the U.S. must entreat for and not assume?
Well, I think that the answer to that question becomes clearer over time, because you really can't judge a new U.S. presidential administration from the first couple of weeks or the first month in office. But, you know, we're now half a year and three meetings into the relationship with the Chinese. Remember, we didn't just have the Blinken-Sullivan meeting in March. You had John Kerry traveling to Shanghai in April, and now you have Deputy Secretary of State Wendy Sherman also going. And again, you have to look past what they say and look at what they do. In fact, Kai Sha, a former faculty member at China's Central Party School, wrote a very important essay for the Hoover Institution recently. And she speaks from the Chinese perspective. And I want to quote her here because I think her words are very important. She said, quote, "American people don't have to care what the CCP says, but they must be careful about what the CCP does, because it's what they do that matters. And we can perceive absolutely no cooperation, whether it's on climate, whether it's on equalizing trade, whether it's on improvement on human rights, whether it's the aggression that the PLA and the PLA Navy has shown in the East and the South China Sea. So, I don't think the trends are good here. And for the State Department, to release a statement afterwards that speaks in bureaucratese, and not in plain language about that record, and not in plain language about the nature of the regime that we're dealing with, I think is a worrying sign of softening.
Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President of Stevens Incorporated, former Senior Advisor to the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, commenting on stormy weather. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.